Today's shiur is Masechta Shkolim, Daf Yud, and we will begin on Daf Tes Amud Beis at the Mishnah. As we've been learning, there was the Trumas Halishka, or the Maksas HaShekel, were put into the room from which the Trumas Halishka, from which they removed the Maksas HaShekel to use for various purposes, which we will actually begin to identify in this Mishnah. Then there was the Maisra HaTruma. Maisra HaTruma is that, as we have learned, three times a year they took Truma Salishka before Pesach, before Shavuos, before Sukkos. They took the Truma Salishka and they put them into boxes. If there's money left in those boxes, when they already go to get the new money, that means money was taken out before HaPesach, put into the small boxes, and now it's befreis hashvuas, and it's taking already the new money, and there's still money left in the boxes. That's called maisa hatruma. Shiari halishka means that it's ready after sukkos, it's ready after befreis hasukkos, and all the money that they're going to be removing from the lishka for this year has already been removed. That leftover is called Shiori HaLishka, which we will learn were used for specific purposes. And then there's Maisa Shiori HaLishka. After the purposes that we will identify, the Shiori HaLishka were used for, there was still money left over, and that's called Maisa Shiori HaLishka. There are actually other types of money that we will be discussing in the coming Mishnayos, but in understanding the Mishnah we're going to learn now, these are the items that we need to know about. Ask the Mishnah. They took the Maksas HaShekel, they took the Trumas HaLishka. Ask the Mishnah, what did they use that money for? Says the Gemara, Mishnah, Loichem Batamidim, we bought with them the Kamin Tamid, or the Mesafim and the Kavim Musaf, the Niskeim and the Nesachim that come along with these Kabonis, Ha'omer, the Karbon Omer, which we will speak a lot about today. Every year, on the second day of Pesach, they brought a carbon ha'omer from barley, which permitted them from then on to use the chadosh, to use new wheat that grew that year, for people to be able to start using the new wheat, the new grain in their homes. Shtei lechem was in Shavuos a carbon shtei lechem, two loaves of bread made out of wheat were brought, and from then on in the Beis Hamikdash were they allowed to bring karbonos from the new tvua, from the skeyem, the lechem upon him, and the lechem upon him, that every week they had 12 breads that were replaced on the shulchan, that came all from the Trumas HaLishka. Mefarshim ask that shouldn't have the Mishnah mentioned lechem upon him first, as that takes place every week, whereas the other kabbanas, Omer and Lechem upon him, take place only once a year? So the answer, since the first time in the year when the new coins are used is in Nisan, as we've been discussing, and Nisan, as we just said, is the time when the carbon Omer was brought, so it makes sense to mention Omer first. And as we just explained, Omer and Shtei Lechem are so connected, the purpose of both of them is to permit us the Chadosh, so they're mentioned together, and only afterward the Lechem upon them are brought. The Kol Kabbanat Tzibur, all Kabbanat Tzibur are brought from the Lishka, from this Maksas HaShekel money. Mefarshim say, it comes to speak about the Kifsei Atzeres, the Kabbanis that were born in Shavuos with the Shtei Lechem, the Ktiris that is brought every day, salt that has to be brought in all Kabbanis, wood that was needed on the Mizbeach for fuel. That's what the Mishnah means when it says Kol Kabbanis Hatzibur. Every 7 years in Eretz Yisrael is a Shemitah year. During the Shemitah year, we're not allowed to plant, we're not allowed to tend our fields. But, as we've just learned, we needed to have produce, barley, for the carbon omer. So they had to designate watchmen, shomrim, to watch svichim. Svichim are growths, aftergrowths that grow by themselves, and therefore are permitted in Shemitah year. Our Mishnah begins to discuss who pays the wages for the shomrim of the svichim, of the barley, that we should be able to have it for the Karban HaOmer on Pesach. Says the Mishnah, Shomrei Svichim B'Shvius, the people who are the watchmen of the Svichim, the Shemitah year, Noitun Schar Metrumas Alishka, they would receive their wages from the Trumas Alishka. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Af HaRoitz Mesnada B'Shem Mechinim, if somebody wants to donate his time to be a Shomer, he may do so. Amloi, and the Chazal, the Rabbanim disagree, Af they have to come strictly from public funds. We're concerned that if somebody will donate his time and therefore he will be the owner of the svichim, he will not properly give over the svichim to the tzibur. The halacha is that the karban ha'omer has to come mishal tzibur, from public funds. Therefore the chacham insist that the shomrim get paid. Obviously, as we will learn in our Gemara, this Mishnah holds that the Karban Omer had to come from produce that grew in Eretz Yisrael, where there's an issue of how to deal with the Shemitah. If, on the other hand, it could come from Chutz Laretz, where there is no Shemitah, we would not have to have this entire discussion. Taisus Masecht Menachos asks that if we're designating watchmen for the smichim, so they're no longer hefker, they're meshumer, they're watched, and the halacha is that any produce that falls under the category of meshumer, of watched, may not be used in the shemitah, may not be eaten. So how can we designate shomer? So a number of terutzim are given. Tosfos in Masechta Menachos says that the Torah, when it speaks about shemitah, says tzircha, your katsir, the zircha, what's yours, not hegdish. And since this omer will be used for hegdish, there is no issue of meshumer. Another teretz that Tosfos gives is that the purpose of these watchmen were not to protect the field and make sure that nobody would touch the svichim. That would be meshumer. Tosfos says the watchman would stand there, and if somebody would attempt to come close, he would say, you know, we want to use this barley for the Karban Omer. So the person would say, oh, so I'm not going to take it. So it's not meshumer in the sense that it's being watched to the degree that that I'm taking it and watching it, which you're not allowed to do in Shemitah year. I'm just, so to speak, reminding everybody else, this we want to use for the Omer, and people by themselves will understand that they shouldn't take it for themselves. Other terutzim that are given, the Sfasemis gives an answer, the Meshumer is only if you watch an entire field. Here they didn't watch an entire field, they only watched a patch where this Omer grew. Another text the Sfasemis says is that Meshumer is only on something which would be permitted to be eaten anyway, and now I protect it for myself, so it becomes Meshumer. Given that this produce is also to be eaten because it's Chadosh, and Chadosh may not be eaten until Pesach, the Isser of Meshumer doesn't apply to it. And another teretz that's given is that Meshumer is only if the owner of the field is watching the field. But here it's not the owner of the field that's watching the field, it's someone else, therefore it's not considered Meshumer. Another question is that with the Omer, when they brought it to the Beis HaMikdash, they would burn it. And the halacha is that Perish Shvius have to be eaten, not burnt. So how could they bring Omer from Perish Shvius? We will be burning it. So Taishas Masechta Menachos answers that since the Pasuk says that the mitzvah of bringing the Karban Omer is L'dorei Seichem, for all generations, including in all generations, obviously, our Shemitah year, is the Torah telling us that although normally Shemitah produce may not be burnt, in the Karban HaOmer is an exception to that rule. Says the Gemara. Goes back to this machloikis that we just had between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. If somebody can donate his time to be a Shomer and then afterwards convert that Omer that he watched, that food that he watched, to the Tzibur. So the Gemara quotes a Gemara in Masechta Tainis. The Gemara in Masechta Tainis speaks about certain days of the year that you're not allowed a sort of a yontif. And the Gemara says, "Ma roz man atze kahanim ve'om limonis." Why does the Mishnah Masechta Tainis mention these 9 dates that were days in which people donated wood for the Beis HaMikdash and they considered Yom Tovim? Ella, says the Gemara, "B'shoa sha'o Yisroel man ha'goyla." When Klai Yisroel came up from Golus, there was no wood available in the Beis HaMikdash. These families donated wood from their own resources, and they gave them over to the public fund. And this wood was used for all kabbanis. And like the Gemara points out, there is a concept of a carbon eitzim, that a person could donate wood as a private carbon. That's not what we're discussing here. What we're discussing here is that they donated wood to be used for fuel for all kabbanis. At that point, the Nevi'im that were living in that time made a stipulation. Even if there's enough wood in the warehouse where the wood was kept, if these families, these people will donate wood, their wood is used first. And in fact, the Paiskim say, this is the place where we find in Halacha the concept of chazaka. That a person can have a chazaka, he has a chazaka that the mitzvah belongs to him and it can't be taken away from him. These families had the chazaka that their wood was used and nobody could remove that from them. In fact, I saw an interesting tshuva from the Ranach. The Ranach says that let's say there was no base knesses, no shul in a city, and everybody davened in someone's home. And then somebody else wants to make a minyan in his home, says the Ranach, that second minyan should not be made. Because since the first person has a chazaka, the davening is done in his house, the chazaka, as we just learned in the Gemara, cannot be taken away from him. And Rekiva Eger takes that Ranach even a step further. He says, even if the second minyan will be established, it will not break the first minyan. The first minyan will still have a minyan. Still, says Rekiva Eger, a new minyan should not be created. There's a chazaka that everybody davens in the first home, and chazaka, as we just learned, is very important halacha. What do we see from what we just learned? That these people brought their wood, and it became the tzibur's wood. Similarly, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Acha, based on this, Rabbi Yosi, it seems that this goes according to Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi taught us in the Mishnah, a person could volunteer to be a shomer for the svichim and then donate him. See it too. Person could donate the wood. Rav Yosi b'shem Rav Ila says divrei hakolhi. Everybody will agree. My pligim. When is there a machloikis in our Mishnah between Rav Yosi and the chachamim begufish of carbon regarding the carbon itself? Avol machshirei carbon. Things that are not the carbon itself, like the wood, everybody will agree, something which is somebody's private property can become a tzibur property. So why is there a difference between the carbon itself and the machshiri carbon? So Rashi, Masechta Bava Metzia, says that everybody wants to bring a carbon. So that's why by a carbon we're concerned that he's not going to properly donate it to the tzibur. Bachshire carbon, people aren't that anxious, and that's why we don't have to be concerned that he won't give it over properly. The Migdash David gives a different explanation. The Migdash David explains that by a carbon, that's supposed to come Mishal Tzibur, if even b'di'evid, if it didn't come Mishal Tzibur, it's pasul, it's disqualified. So therefore we have to be certain that it belongs to the Tzibur, and the Chum hold it shouldn't be brought from a Yachid who we're concerned will not give it over to the Tzibur properly. On the other hand, Machshirei Karbon explains the Migdash David, b'di'evid, even though they're supposed to come Mishal Tzibur, if they come from an individual, it's still valid. So even worst case scenario, the person did not properly give it over to the tzibur, the carbon will still be a kosher carbon. The Mefarshim ask, we learned, the Rishonim ask, that actually we learned earlier in the Masechta, in the first parak, that Noshim, Vavodim, Uktanim aren't obligated to give the Machzis HaShekel, yet they may. We have to be concerned, we have to be sure that they give it over properly. But if they give it over properly, it's fine. So ask the Rishonim, why by the Machzis HaShekel are we sure that the people are going to give it over properly? We're not concerned. And that's a carbon. The Machzis HaShekel, as we learned in our Mishnah, is used for a carbon. And we're not concerned that they're not going to give it over properly. Yet in our Mishnah, the Rabbanan are concerned. So a number of terutzim are given. One terutz is that in our Mishnah, these people actually had to work to protect the field. It's much harder for a person who actually had to work hard in protecting than to say everything I did was just Mishal Tzibur. There they were just giving a coin. Since they were giving a coin, it's less of a concern that they didn't give it over properly. Another terutz is that since everybody, all the men were giving coins, Litzibur, so these people also gave it together the same way with the Tzibur. Another teretz, which is similar to what we just learned, by the Sfichim, the watchmen were watching the actual Sfichim. And now those actual Sfichim that they watched, we want to say that they're going to give over to the Tzibur. The Chachamim are concerned that possibly they won't. By the Machzis HaShekel, they're not giving the actual item which will be brought as a carbon. They're giving coins which will be converted, bought with that money will be bought animals. Whenever we're not dealing with the actual item that's going to be brought on the Mizbeach, there even the Chacham agree we don't have to be worried that they won't give it over Yofa Yofa. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Tani, we learned in a brisa. Isha she'asuk sinus labna. For a woman whose son was a kohen, and she made from him one of the big day kahuna, ksheira. It's kasha. Uvacha timsel tzibra, as long as she gives it over completely to public ownership. Again, I'm Rav Acha, so comments Rav Acha. To Rav Yosi he. This is going coin to Rav Yosi. A person could donate his time, and we're not concerned that he won't give it over to the public, because the big day kuna have to come from public funds. Everybody could agree to this. My pligim, because again, when do the Chacham and Rabbi Yossi disagree in our Mishnah? Begufishal carbon, when we're talking about the carbon itself. Abba Machshirei carbon, something which is not the carbon itself, like the big day kuna that's under discussion, kol am amoida shumishtana karben yachal karben tzibur. Everybody could agree that a private thing can become a public fund. Says the Gemara, masnisa pligel Rabbi Yosi. A brice that we're going to learn seems to disagree with the way Rabbi Yosi in the name of Ela explained, because it says in a brice, oisam hayomim, those 9 days which the 9 families brought kabonos. Noigim b'shas carbon v'shloibus carbon were yomatayvim, both when the base of Middash was standing and when the base of Middash is not standing. Rabbi Yosi says, ain noigim el b'shas carbon levad. It was the only yomatayvim when the base of Middash, when they were brought carbon from the base of Middash was standing. Now, we're seeing that this was considered a yontif. We wouldn't consider something a yontif if it was just a machshirei carbon. It must be that if those days are considered a yontif, bringing the wood is like bringing a carbon. So your distinction, says the Gemara to Rabbi Yosi b'shem Rabbi Ela, that you dismay between Makhshirei Karban and Gufishal Karban, and you said that the Eitzim are considered Makhshirei Karban, doesn't stand. If it was only a Makhshirei Karban, it wouldn't be a Yontif. And the same point can be pointed out from the following brisa. The Tanya Amar Belezer Reb Tzadik. We were from the family of Sabayom and Yomim. Chal Tisha B'Av Liyos B'Shabbos. And Tisha B'Av came out on Shabbos. But the Chino Yisrael Amatzah Shabbos. If Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, so we don't fast on Shabbos, we fast on Sunday, which is Yud B'Av. But Yud B'Av was the day that the family of Sanab and Yomim had as a Yomtif, because that was the day that they brought their wood. So Vayinim Asanim, they used to fast on that day, Vayinim Asham, but they didn't finish the day. Again, if it was that wood was just a Makhshirei Karban, how could we go and now Beis Hamikdash is not standing anymore, it's Tisha B'Av, and we're supposed to fast this day, and they're not going to complete the fast because it's a Yontif from a Makhshirei Karban that took place years before that wasn't any more relevant. It's so strong that it should still be a Yontif, and not to complete fasting on Tisha B'Av. Can't be. It must be that it's a real carbon. And since it's a real carbon, it remained a Yontif even when the Beis Hamikdash was no longer standing. So we see that it's not just Makhshirei carbon, it's a real carbon. In fact, this is the basis for interesting Shaila LaHalacha. The Tor, Beis Yosef discusses, what would be the din if somebody makes a bris on Tisha B'Av that's a Nitcha, on Yud Ba'av, and the Tor says that he would not have to complete the fast, similar to the people from the Mishpacha of Sanor ben Binyamin. Others, the Magen Avraham, disagrees. He says that you would complete, that they do even about bris, even on Tisha B'Av HaNitcha, completes the fast. There's an interesting point that Ramash makes in the Tshuvas. It says, "Anam mishpacha hayinu mishpacha snab b'minyanim." What's this terminology? "Anah hayinu," we were. He should have said, "I'm from this family." So he says that the Gemara Taisus points this out. The Taisus says that actually he wasn't, his father wasn't from the family of snab b'minyanim. It was his mother from that family. "Anah hayinu," we were from the family, my mother's side. But Ramosha says, based on this, his son Reb David asked him a question. We know that the halacha is that a person is supposed to follow the minig of his father. Even a wife is supposed to follow the minig of her husband. Ask Reb David to Ramosha if he was only from that family, from his mother's side, so it wasn't a yanta for him. He's supposed to follow his father's minhagim. So why did he commemorate it as a yontif to the degree that on Tisha B'Av he didn't fast the whole day? So Ramosha says that he didn't hold that day as a yontif because that was the minig of his mishpacha, because he has to follow his father's minhagim. He followed that day as a yontif because he lived together with his mother's family. And in his mother's family, as we're learning now, was a Yontif. So based on that, he also celebrated it as a Yontif. So we learned in the Mishnah, "Oim v'shnei lechem v'lechem aponim v'kol kabonis siva," come from the Trumas HaLishkan. Says the Gemara, "Mesnisid Rav Shmuel," our Mishnah is going according to Rav Shmuel, the Rav Shmuel Oimer, "Eina Oimer b'amin asurya." Oimer can't come from Chutz Laretz, because if Oimer could come from Chutz Laretz, we wouldn't have all these problems with Shemitah. Taman Tanina, we learned in the Mishnah, "Kol Kabanas Yachiv Tzibur," all Kabanas, whether individual or the Tzibur, "Boim in Aretz from Chutz Laretz," the items to use could come from Etz Yisrael, from Chutz Laretz, "Min HaChadosh Min HaYashin," "Chutz Min HaOimer V'Shtei Lechem," "Shein Boim El Min HaChadosh," has to come from the new crap, or Min HaAretz, and has to come strictly from Etz Yisrael. "Rev Huna B'Shmei Rev Yimaya," who is the Tan of that Mishnah? Rabbi Shmuel, it goes according to Rabbi Shmuel that we just said, Rabbi Shmuel, Oimer can't come from Surya. Even Surya, which is so close to Israel. And even Surya, which was captured by David in a Kibush Yochid, is not considered a place from where the Oimer could come. Certainly, anywhere else in Chutz Laretz, Rabbi Shmuel will say, we cannot bring Oimer from there. Taman Tamninan. We learned in the Mishnah Masechta Kelim. As the Kedusha saying, there are 10 levels of Kedusha. Et Yisrael Kedushim Kol Haratzos. Et Yisrael is the holiest of all lands. Oma Kedushosoy. How is that evident? We bring from it the Oymer Bikurim Shtei Lechem. Mashen came in Kol Haratzos, not from all other lands. Says the Gemara, Rabchi B'Shem Rabbi Yirmiyah. Who's the town of this Mishnah? Again, Rabbi Shmalhi. Rabbi Shmal Oymer, we just learned, Oymer Ba Minasurya, Oymer can't come from Chutz Lartz. Taman Tanin, we learned another Mishnah. Rabbi Shmal Oymer, the Pasuk says, B'char Sheish Hashem Tavod, for 6 days you should work, or B'yoy Meshvi Tishbois, not on the seventh day, B'char Shvikotza Tishbois. You should not do any plowing or cutting. So the question is obvious. Why does the Torah have to single out cutting and plowing? You're not going to do any melacha on Shabbos. So Rabbi Shmuel teaches us, Machar Shushus, what type of plowing is Asur in Shabbos? What type of plowing is Asur in Shemitah? Plowing that's discretionary. Because as the Rishonim explained, there is never a situation in the Torah that you must plow. Af Kotz Rishus, you know what cutting is Asur on Shabbos? Cutting that is discretionary. But if the cutting is a mitzvah, Yotze Tzir Eimer, cutting the Eimer Shu Mitzvah, which is a mitzvah, and therefore can be done on Shabbos, and similarly, it could be done on Shemitah. Says the Gemara, Rishmol Kedatei, where Rishmol is following his own position, the Rishmol Eimer Bom in Assyria, the Rishmol hold that Eimer can't come from Chutz Lartz. That's why Rishmol holds that even though it's a normally you're not allowed to cut tvua in the Shemitah year, but since I have no option but to bring Oymer from Eretz Yisrael, so it's a mitzvah that can't be accomplished any other way, so I could cut during the Shemitah year. Same thing, I could cut it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Man Tana, so who's the Tana we learned in our Mishnah? That the people who used to guard these svichim brought it from, got paid from Trumas Lishka. Rishmali, it's going according to Rishmal. Because everybody else says that you could bring from Chutz Laretz. Amar Rav Yosi, the Reakolhi. Everybody could agree with our Mishnah. Because even the Tana that holds that the Omer could come from Chutz Laretz agrees that Lomotz Masuri, if they didn't find any Omer, they didn't find any tefu available in Chutz Laretz, Mevin Oysam Misrich Shmet Yisrael, they have to bring from Eretz Yisrael. So that's why he too holds that they have to make it available to, in case they'll need it. Hahein Omer, ask the Gemara, this Omer, Mashi Yizru B'Tchila, may it be planted up front. In other words, we're speaking in our Mishnah that we're allowed to guard the Svichim in order to have Omer. But now the Gemara wants to know, are we even allowed to plant new Tfuah in the year of Shemitah on the basis of a concern that we may not have Omer this year? And actually the Gemara doesn't, the way we're going to learn the Gemara doesn't actually resolve this question. The Mefarshim ask, how could it be a question? What's the reason we would say you should be allowed to plant tefua in a Shemitah year in order to have an Omer? Because the mitzvah's assay of bringing the carbon Omer is doicha, the lois assay of Shemitah. But ask the Mefarshim, we have a rule that when do we say essay doicha lois assay? When the essay and the lois assay are being done at the idne at the same time and they're clashing. So the rule is essay doicha lois assay. The essay supersedes the lois assay. But here they're not being done at the same time. I'm planting at the beginning of the year, and I'm only that's when I'm doing the lois assay. And the essay, the mitzvah, bringing the carbon oimer will only be on Pesach. Certainly we shouldn't say essay doicha lois assay. So Mefarshim give two answers. One answer is that since we're talking here about a tzorech hatzibur, something for the community, we say essay doicha lois assay even not at the same, even if the essay is not being doicha lois assay at the same moment. Another teretz, and we've said this teretz previously, is if there is no way to be mekayim the mitzvah assay without going against the Lois Asay. Even though I'm being over, I'm transgressing the Lois Asay much in advance to the Asay, like in our example, but that's the way it has to be, otherwise I'll never be able to accomplish the Asay. There we say, Esa Doicha Lois Asay, even not be Idna. And the way we always explain it is that makes it as if it's happening at the exact same time. And therefore, even though it's not be'edna, we will say, Esai Doicha Lois Asay, under such circumstances, perhaps the Gemara doesn't answer the question. Now the Gemara is faced with another issue. We have these Shomrim, we have these people who we're going to pay to guard the Svichim, and we're going to pay them from the Trumas HaLishka, as the Mishnah taught us. But how actually do we pay them? Because as the Mefarshim explained in understanding this Gemara, we cannot pay them directly for their work, because Trumas HaLishka money has to be used only for a tangible item. Work that they're watching the field is a non-tangible item. There's even a more of a difficulty, because we can't say that we're paying for the tefuah while it's collected, while it's still connected to the ground, because hegdish money cannot be used for something that's mechubah lekarka. So therefore, Rav Chiya bar Oda boy kamei Ramana. Actually, this was the next Gemara. We're going to say this first. We have another problem, I asked the Gemara. Lenimtzuk koimtz al shraim she'en in the cholim. The halacha is that when we bring a carbon mincha, there's a koimtz, there's a fistful that has to be taken, and that fistful is burnt on the mizbeach, and the rest is eaten. The halacha is that if you can't eat the shraim, the part that's not burnt, then the koimtz too is disqualified. Here too, the oimer that we're burning on the Mizbeach from the Shemitah year would not be valid, because the remainder is not mutter to be eaten, it's Shemitah produce that was watched. Amalei, so he answered him, Nasak Chamish Dvarim Shein Bo'am B'Tumah, it falls under the category of such five categories that can be brought in Tumah, Main and Nechal B'Tumah, but can't be eaten in Tumah. One of the things in that category is Omer, that in spite of it being Tumah, but because it is carbon sibur, it can be brought. The same thing will be regarding the problem of Shemitah. Now we go back to what I mentioned before, Ketzur Oysa, the mechanics of how to pay for it. Says the Gemara, Noitel Moisman Shulchani, money was taken from a money changer, for Noisan Lakotzim Lashomrim, and he gave that money to pay the people who watched. The money changers laid out money for Hegdish. Or maybe Mars Metrumas and Lishka. Now, when these people who watched and harvested the Omer bring it to the base of Mikdash, money is brought from Metrumas and Lishka, or Mechalalov, and that money was used to exchange for the Omer. Ask the Gemara of Tavis Cain, is this an acceptable way to do it? The amount needed for the Omer, the amount that the Omer was worth, is not very significant, because as the Gemara explains, the Omer went through 13 sifters. Very little Omer was left. But these people worked all winter watching the field, harvesting the field. So how could we be able to do this? It won't be worth the amount that we're going to give. Answer the Gemara, Rav Acha b'Shem Rabba, Kol Ma Sheyitein, whatever is paid, Hein Hein Dama Mishar Rishayna. So the way we're going to explain the Gemara, the Mefarshim explained, is like this. They know up front that the Omer, although in terms of quantity, is not significant, but there was a lot of effort put into this small amount. Since a lot of effort was put into this small amount, that is its value. And therefore, we could give these people a significant amount of money from Trumas HaLishka to pay for all their work. We give them that money from Trumas HaLishka for the Omer, and they go back and give the money that to the money changers that they laid out on their behalf. Tani, says the Gemara, we learned the same thing in a Braisa. Apa Pischa Avonim Kain. The same thing can be said regarding stone workers. Again, they have stone workers who are working in the base of Migdash. We pay them from the Trumas HaLishka. We can't take money from the Trumas HaLishka because Trumas HaLishka has to go for tangible. We can't give the money for the stones because the stones are Mechubah Lekarka. So how do we pay them? They don't want to wait to get paid until they finish their job. They're working to take a while. Ketzurai, so why was done? Noitel Maris Mishalchani, money was taken from the bank, from the money changer. They laid out the money. The Noitel Chaitzel and Sisisin, they were given to the people who cut out the stones. Actually, to Nasal Gabadimus, until the stones were actually set into the building. Mishnissan Aldimus, once they're set into the building, maybe Maris Mishumis Alishkin. Money was brought from the Trumis Alishkin. That was what was used for that stone. And then that money that they got would go back to the money changer. Asked them the same question, but Tavis came. They began with a lot of stones and they to cut out. But then they only had some stones, the few bricks that they had left that they actually put on the base of Mikdash. Says Rabbi Yossi, Bereibon b'shem Yishmol, kol ma sheyitein, hein hein domeh b'shem Rishoina. Even though we end up with a small quantity of stone, the value of those stones is not measured by the quantity that we have in front of us. It's measured by all the effort and all the time that was put in beforehand that involved much more than just the stones that I see in front of us. And that's how we could get, that they should get their fair share, and therefore the money changers will get back the right amount of money that they laid out for these people who are working all this time. The Mishnah continues to teach us other items that were bought with the Trumas Alishkin. Para, the Para Aduma, which was used to be Matar, people who became Tamei Meis, came from Trumas Alishkin funds. Why? So some Farshim explain it's called the carbon, because the Torah calls it a Chatos. Another Torah says that since the Avoida, carbonus cannot be brought until a person is Tahar, so it's done the same status of a carbon. On Yom Kippur, two goats were taken. One was, and then a goyrel, a lottery was done. One was declared Sar LaHashem, which was brought as a carbon chatos, and one was Sar LaZazel, which was taken to a mountain and thrown down the mountain. It says again the Mishnah that even the Sar Mishtaleach, the goat that's thrown down the mountain, is considered a carbon. And Mefarshim explained that since the halacha is that both goats have to be identical and both goats have to be eligible to be goats that were used as the carbon, so even though the Sar Mishtaleach at the end was not used as a carbon, it's still considered as a carbon. Another reason why it's brought Mitrumas Alishka is because it affects a kapara for all of Klal Yisrael. So since it affects a kapara for Klal Yisrael, it's considered Tzayra Chatzibur and comes from the Trumas Alishka. For Lashon, it's a Zahuris, the red strip of wool. We'll talk about this in a moment more. All of them come with Trumas Alishka. Keves Para. They used to make a special ramp through which they transported the Para, Aduma, to the place where it was burnt. The Mishnah Masechta Paras, the Mishnah Masechta Paras discussed this at length. The reason it was done is that they were very makbid, they were very careful that all of the work with the Para Aduma was done with Tahara. And there's a concern that if they were walking in the street with the Para Aduma, perhaps under the street that they're walking on, there's a dead person, Tuma goes up, and the Para Aduma will become Tamei. So the way to avoid the problem is by building a ramp, and there's a tefach between the ramp and the floor under it. Whenever there's a tefach between the tuma and what's above it, the tuma does not go up. And that would prevent the tuma to go on top of the ramp, making the paraduma tamei. But actually, it was still a concern, because the ramp was built on beams. And maybe just under the beam is where there's a mace, and there is no empty space. So a double ramp was made, with the beams not being one on top of the other, so you always end up with empty space. Says the Mishnah that the ramp of the Para, the Kevesar Mishtaleach, when, as we said earlier, they had the Sar LaZazel, which was going to be taken to that mountain, the Amoratzim, as they were transporting it to the mountain, would pluck hairs from it, saying that because they wanted it to leave Yerushalayim, because they said that this, all of our Averis are on this Para, and we want to get it out. So to avoid the Azazel Para, the Azazel Sar, from going through this, a ramp was built to which they could not reach it. the Lashon Shebein Karnav, and now again we have a strip which is between the horns, Vamas Hamayim, the water canal in Yerushalayim, V'chayim Seir Migdolaseh, the walls of Yerushalayim, and the towers of Kol Tzarchei Ir, that means all the other city needs, making wells and ditches and general upkeep, Ba'am Mishyorei Lishka. They came from the remnant of the treasury chamber, which we discussed at the beginning of the year. Now, as we said, here we spoke about a Lashon Shel Zahuris. At the beginning of the Mishnah, we spoke about a red strip of wool. And now again, we spoke about a Lashon Shel Purim and Kronov. So there's a few shittas in the Mefarshim to explain what is the first red strip that came from the Trumas Elishka and the second red strip that comes from the Shiori Elishka. Some Mefarshim say that the first red strip that the Mishnah is referring to is the strip of wool that was put together with the Parah Aduma when they went through the Parah Aduma process. The Lashon Shel Zahuris that we're referring to now is the strip of wool that was tied around the head of the around the koronos, around the horns of the Sar HaLazazel, and then it was around, turned around the stone also, and that was brought from Shiar HaLishka. That's one approach. Tosfos Yeshanim says that there were two strips of wool that were used around the Sar HaMishtaleach. One strip of wool was put around the neck of that Sar HaMishtaleach to distinguish it from the other sawyer. That piece of red wool is taken with Trumas Elishka, because that is all part of the carbon, of bringing the carbon that's going to be a carbon, which is a carbon, which is not, and that would bring from the Trumas Elishka. The other strip, which was put around the stone, that actually came from the Shiar Elishka. The Rivan has a third pshat. His pshat is that there was a red strip that was put originally at the door of the Beis HaMikdash that would turn miraculously white to show that Klal Yisrael had a kapara. That came from Trumas Elishka because it represents the kapara of Klal Yisrael. However, the red strip that was put around the neck of the Sarl, around the horns of the Sar HaLazazel and tied to a stone on that mountain, on that cliff, that came from Shiar HaElishka. Abishol says, Kevas Parah, the ramp used to transport the Parah Aduma, Kayanim Gedolim Ois Mishalatzim. The Kayanim Gedolim would donate the money from their own funds. Mois Yishiyar Elishka, what was done with the surplus of the Elishka that we explained, my Oisimban, so like my Mishayna Shemana Vesaltois, they were used to buy wine, oil, and flour, and Hegdish would sell it to people who need it. Vaschar and the prophet went to Hegdish to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Amos Takam Shal Hegdish, we don't do profit. We don't do business with Hegdish. Aflai Mishalanim, not with money that was collected for poor people. And as we will see, there are two reasons. Either because Ein Anias B'Makom Ashiris, it's inappropriate that Hegdish should have to try to earn money. The Hegdish has no shortage of money. Or because we're afraid that if we start getting involved with business deals, we may lose money and we don't want Hegdish to take a loss. Moisa Truma, my Oisimen, as we explained at the beginning of the year, that if there's money left in the boxes, what was done with that? They were used to buy cold sheets which were used on the wall of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The profit that was made from selling that oil and wine that we spoke about before was used. We spoke about this a number of times, that the Mizbeach was never supposed to be idle from having Kabbonis. So if there were no Kabbonis being brought, they had a fund to which Kabbonis oil were brought. That's what they did with this. Mois Truma, the surplus of the Truma money, according to Rabbi Shmuel, goes to Kli Sharis. Kivaimer, Mois Truma, the leftover of the Truma goes to Ketz Mizbeach. Mois Nesachim, the leftover of the Nesachim, we'll explain how they had remained from that in the Gemara, went to Kli Sharis. Chanan Yitzkana Kahanamimer, Mois Nesachim, the leftover from the Nesachim, went to Ketz Mizbeach. Mois Truma went to Kli Sharis. But both Rabbi Kiva and Chananya don't discuss they don't discuss about the profit from selling the oil and the flour and the other items, because they don't agree with Rabbi Shmuel, as we said, they don't agree that items were sold. So we learned that the keves para, and then the Gemara says, we spoke about different strips of red thread. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, ben Nachman Shem Rabbi Yonasan, Shalosh Lashonasan. There's three places in Halacha that we find the use of strips of red wool. Sasar, there was the strip of red wool that we had in Sasar Lazazel. Pesela, you could take a strip of red wool that has the weight of one seller. That's enough wool that we could divide it to tie one to the horns of the goat and the rest to the stone. Shamatsaira, they had a red strip of thread that was used in the purification process of the Mitzaira, that was used to sprinkle the blood on the Mitzaira's, on the Mitzaira, that was the shekel. The value, the weight was a shekel. Shapara, the red strip that was used with the paraduma, it had to be heavier, because the Torah says that it should be put a toich sreifa sapara into the burning, so it had to drop in, so it had to be heavier. That was very shtei slime, it weighed two slime. Rav Chunin de Bas Chavrin, Rabbaba Bazav de B'shem, Rav Shimon Chalafta, Shapara, the weight of the strip of red thread that was used by the para, b'shtei slime and machs, was 2.5 slime. This the mafkinlei lishdin, some say basar zuz. Like the Mara says, asar zuz, 10 zuz, and 2.5 shekel, and 2.5 slum, are actually the same. So what's the point of saying it different ways? Shechayev adam loyim v'loshen rabbi. A person should repeat what he heard the way his Rebbe said it. So this person's Rebbe said it 2.5 slum. This one said 10 zuz. Yehudim Rebbe Shmuel, Tamid Chacham HaMelanim is Kahanim Hilchas Shechita. The Tamid Chacham that taught that Kahanim Hilchas Shechita, Hilchas Kabbalah, how to accept the blood, Hilchas Rika, how to throw the blood, Noit and Schar Mitrumas Alishka, all of them would take their wages from the Trumas Alishka. And Taisa says that the region they were entitled to get paid, they're not supposed to get paid to teach Torah, it's Schar B'Tayla. Otherwise, the time that they could have been doing something else in that time, and instead did this. Rav Yitzchak Baradifa B'Shem Ramami, Mevakre Mume Kotshin. The people who used to check the animals if they weren't blemished, Noitin Schar Trumas Lishka, also got their wages from the Trumas Lishka. And the Rishonim explained that even though normally you're not supposed to get paid to check for Mumim, that's only if you're inspecting one specific animal. But if there's a job that you're inspecting animals all day, you are allowed to get paid. Megia Sefer Hazorah, those that would correct the Sefer Torah and the Zohar, Noten Schurim Trumas Lishka, would get their pay from Trumas Lishka. Number Pshatim in this. Some say is that there was a Sefer Torah and the Zohar that was used for Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur, and that was brought, the keeping it in condition, the money was used from Trumas Lishka. Others say that Sefer HaZohar means that there was a Sefer Torah that they had from the time of Ezra, which was the most authentic Sefer Torah, and that Sefer Torah was kept in the Ezra, in the Azara, that people should check their Sefer Torah next to that Sefer Torah, so they had to keep it in perfect condition. The funds for that came from Trumas Lishka. Yet another pshat is that the Gemara says in Masechet Ksubos that it's prohibited for someone to have in his home a Sefer Torah, or any Sefer that's not kosher. So they had people going around fixing the Sfarim, and the funds for paying those people came from Trumas Lishka. Why does it come from the, why is it related to Kabbonis that it comes from the Machzis HaShekel? Because if the Sefer Torah would be incorrect, somebody could come to bring a carbon improperly, and the purpose of the Machzis HaShekel is for Kabbonis. Gidl Bar Binyam V'Shem Ramasi, Shnei Dayonik Zeilis, there were two judges of thefts, Noitan Schar and Mitrumas Alishka. They too received their wages from the Lishka because it's a Tzairich HaTzibur. Shmuel Aymer, Noshma Argus Pepreiches. In the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, it was very tall. It was 100 Amma tall. So they couldn't have a wall separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So they had a Preiches, a curtain. Says Shmuel, the people, the women who made this, who weaved this wall, this preiches, not in schar mitrumas halishka. Chunama, but Chumas Beta Kabayis, they received from the Beta Kabayis. Ma Polik, what is the basis of the Machlokes? Shmuel Avalak a carbon. Shmuel considers it a carbon because since a number of times the blood of Karbonis were sprinkled on that wall, on Yom Kippur, on other Karbonis, so therefore it has the status of a carbon and it comes from Chumas Alishka. Rav Huna Avalak Binyan, Rav Huna treats it like the actual Beis HaMikdash itself, and the upkeep and the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash came from Beit HaKabayis. Amar Rav Chizkiya, Tan Rav Yehuda Gagoydus, Haktoris, V'kol Kabonat Tzibur, the Ktoris and all Kabonat Tzibur, Bar Mitzumas Alishka. Mizbeach Azov, the Mizbeach Azov, V'kol Klisharis, Bar Mimaisa and Nesachim. They come from the leftover from the Nesachim, which we'll discuss. Mizbeach Ha'oila, V'heichel V'azorois, the Mizbech Oila and the Hechel and the Azaris all come the Yilishkas Beit HaKabayis, come from the Beit HaKabayis. Chutz LaZaris, the area outside the Zarbon Mishar Yilishka, comes from the leftover from the Trumas HaShekel. Ask the Gemara Fatani Avni Yushalayim Me'alim Behem. If somebody uses a stone from the wall of Yushalayim, it's Mila. Now the question is V'chiyesh Mila B'Shirayim. If it comes from the Shiari Alishka, there is no Mila. Says the Gemara, it's going to Remeya. To Remeya Omer, Mayal B'Shraim. Even with the Shraim, there's an Avera Mila. Ask the Gemara, Omer Avchia, Klum Omer Remeya El B'chut Shnoisoi. When did Remeya say that there's a problem of Mila? B'toich Shnoisoi. In the year that the Machtes HaShekel was given, in that year, anything, even the Shraim, is subject to Mila. But the stone wasn't there only during the year of the Machtes HaShekel. The stone was there even later years. We're talking about after that year. After the year in which that actual Machtes HaShekel, from which these Shiari Alishka were brought, there's no Mi'ila according to Remeya. So the question is, why is there Mi'ila even according to Remeya? How do we understand that Brisa if we say that the walls of Yerushalayim were brought from the Shari Halishka? The walls of Yerushalayim were brought from the Shari Halishka.